Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Week Junior Show. My name is Bex and we have a fun-packed episode for you this week. We're going to be talking about the UK's first coronation in 70 years when King Charles III was crowned. We'll be finding out about some very old wee flasks, yeah, you heard me, and battling it out in the big debate, should cats be kept inside at night? So to tell us all about these stories and more, we're joined by two of the team from the Week Junior magazine. It's editor Vanessa and writer Eve. Now, before we start the show, it's time for our question of the week. Seeing as we're going to be talking a bit about the coronation, I want to know, what was your favourite moment from the King's coronation over the weekend? Now, I'm going to put it out there. I watched the coronation from Hyde Park. Me and my friends had a picnic blanket, watched it on a big screen. And I think one of my favourite bits actually was when they all came out on the balcony. I loved seeing all of the family just there, like waving away. All of the page boys had a lovely time. Vanessa, how about you?
I'd go for the Ascension Choir because I just thought they were fantastic. I was watching on my sofa at home, and I have to say I was sort of listing slightly to one side, and I really sat up when they started singing. I can't sing a note myself, so the idea of anybody singing a cappella, you know, with no accompaniment is just it's practically miraculous to me. So I loved it.
Good choice. How about you, Eve?
I personally absolutely loved the Princess of Wales, Kate's outfit. I thought she looked absolutely amazing. She had this blue and red thing going on, and she had this amazing like flower crown. And it was so sweet because it matched her daughter, Princess Charlotte's. And it was just really lovely. And also little Louis was quite cheeky throughout the day. And that was quite funny to see.
He was indeed. Well, speaking of the coronation, we should probably talk about the cover of the Week Junior this week, which is very coronation themed. Vanessa, can you tell us a little bit more about it?
It is super coronation-tastic. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we were kind of playing with this for a bit because originally we had one that was King Charles sitting on his own, but it was a bit dark. So we chose one with the King and Queen on it together because they're wearing lighter, brighter colours. And we went with a royal celebration as the line with lots of textured glittery gold in there. Mm. So we went full on bling for what was pretty much a full on bling day. But for me, the most important thing, important part of the cover is, in fact, referring to inside, because we've got this fantastic story. Not only have we got a report about the coronation, but we've got a list of odd jobs, because that makes it sound like they were cleaning windows, but it's slightly strange jobs. And we had a great list of them, and not all of them could make it into the magazine. A couple of them did. Francis Dimmock, who is the King's champion, apparently, so that if anybody challenges the king, he is supposed to come clopping out and defend the king from any, I don't know, marauders or enemies. Now, the title has been in the same family since William the Conqueror's time. And so the champion at the moment is a sort of middle-aged accountant. So I think he was quite relieved that he didn't have to go clopping out and declare war on anybody. There's a king's coachman, and he had to make sure all the horses were ready to go. And apparently they trained the horses by waving flags and banging drums at them every day so that they would get used to the noise and they wouldn't sort of start rushing around. Because they've got to be ready to pull. That coach is 4 tons. It's incredibly heavy. And of course, they've all got to move at the same speed and set off at the same time. We also had Christa Blessley. She's the Westminster Conservator. She looks after historical items. She was in charge of making sure the 700-year-old coronation chair was all clean and lovely and ready to go. And then, I don't know if you noticed, well, I'm sure you did if you were watching it, King Charles was wearing the super tunica, which was that fabulous kind of gold dressing gown. Sort of that's what it looked like mm-hmm. to me. And it's her job to look after that. That Caroline De Guito has been preparing the royal clothing for the coronation. So there's some really fabulous jobs in there behind the scenes to make sure the day went fine. The other thing we've got, which is in the middle of the magazine, most important of all, is we've got some fantastic readers' photographs. So thank you, everybody, readers, for sending in your photographs to show how they were marking the day.
All right, then, now it's time for real or rubbish. This is the bit of the show where one of the team tells me a story. I have to guess whether it's true or false. And today it's Eve's turn. Come on, Eve. See if you can trick me.
Well, seeing as we're talking about all things coronation, I'm going to take you 70 years back in time, Bex, to the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II. And so on the morning of the big day, the staff at Buckingham Palace woke up to find that almost all of their loo roll had gone missing. And so they had to work very quickly to try and solve this problem, because obviously there's a big issue there. You know, what if someone gets caught short and they need some loo roll, but there's not any? And Buckingham Palace is huge. You've got to have loo roll around there. And so the details of the ceremony plan are actually kept in an archive, which is a collection of historical records. And so the details of the tissue issue are quite hush hush as well. So, Bex, do you think this story is true, or have we flushed out a fib?
So you're saying 70 years ago, when the Queen was about to be crowned, toilet roll went missing from the whole of Buckingham Palace?
Yeah.
And do we know what happened to it?
Just disappeared. A loo roll thief.
Oh my god. I mean, to be fair, it's always good to have extra loo roll around. So if I was in Buckingham Palace that night and I saw, you know, a lot of spare rolls, I probably would pocket them. I'd probably pop them in that
That's a shocking admission.
Near, isn't it?
Do you sort of go to places where you think there might be lots of loo roll with a really big bag? And sort of unfurl.
Scoop them in.
I'm saying this, if you ever see me with a big duffel bag, what is inside it will surprise you. Spoiler alert, it's toilet roll. No, I think people would be, either this is a story where they just weren't prepared and they forgot to order in the toilet roll. They were so busy thinking about the crowns, the scepters, the spoons, they forgot about the loo roll. Or obviously this isn't true, and actually they had too much loo roll. Maybe this is a trick. Maybe they had an excess.
Well, the thing is that I don't know what kind of loo roll you use, Bex, but I usually buy stuff on the cheaper end of the scale. But I imagine in Buckingham Palace, they probably have, you know...
Deluxe.
How thick is that loo roll? I bet it's like velvet. It's probably lovely.
I bet it's practically a bed sheet, to be honest. I don't know about this. I feel like... So either they forgot about ordering it or, you know... I don't know. I think the Queen would have loo roll. I feel like they'd sort that out for her. It's a basic necessity, right?
Well, you know, they probably ordered in this amazing loo roll that she probably always has anyway, but they thought, coronation, big day, got to make sure we're stocked up because she might be feeling a bit nervous and needs some extra loo roll.
All right, well, we'll have to have a think about that, whether there was, I feel like either there was none at all or there was too much there. I can't figure out which way you're trying to trick me on that. And while we're thinking about it, it's time to talk about our book of the week. This week, it is Spellstone by Ross Montgomery. It's a spellbinding adventure following the story of Evie, who is recruited into a secret magical organization and is soon at the heart of an ancient and magical battle. Will she be able to defeat the most dangerous magician in the world when she doesn't even know her own powers? Well, we've got a message here from the author himself. This is Ross.
Hi there, listeners of the Week Junior Show. My name is Ross Montgomery, author of Spellstone, which has been selected as Book of the Week in the current issue of the magazine. And I'm here to answer a very important question. What was my favourite children's author growing up? This is quite a difficult question for me to answer. I get asked it a lot as a children's author, but I think the truth is, I loved reading so much when I was a kid that I didn't really have one favourite author. But if I had to pick one, it would almost definitely be Jacqueline Wilson. I absolutely loved her books. When I started reading them, she'd written 86, which blew my mind. She's now written over 100. And the nicest thing about being an author is it means you get to meet other authors. And I've met Jacqueline Wilson. She's really nice. Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy learning lots more about Spellstone.
Yes, Jacqueline Wilson, that is a great choice. Finally, someone is talking my language. I love her so much. Now, of course, you don't have to just be an author to send us a message. You could be anyone. If you want to get in touch, go to hello@theweekjunior.co.uk, or you can leave us a voice note and hear your voice on this podcast, which practically means you'll be presenting it. All you got to do is go to funkidslive.com/theweekjunior and look for that big red button. Then grab a grown-up, record your voice, and you could be in next week's show. So we've had lots of messages this week. Vanessa, what have you read? What's caught your eye?
Well, Amrit, who's 8 and has a slightly more dignified approach to the coronation than we seem to, he sent us an email to say that he made a special coronation-themed time capsule using information from the Week Junior. And he said, I hope the kids of the future enjoy reading the magazine as much as I do. And I agree with you, Amrit, so do I.
Amrit is spreading the word. I love that. I also love the idea that somebody's going to dig up a lot of copies of The Week Junior one day and see some rather wonderful covers. Eve, what other messages have we had?
So we also had a message from Kirsty, who made a piece of artwork of a rainbow fish using pieces of rubbish collected during a beach clean. And she was inspired by a new piece of artwork by an artist called Julie Barnes, which used more than 13,000 bits of recycled sea junk. And I think that's such a cool way to use rubbish that's in the sea to make something really pretty.
It looks absolutely beautiful, this rainbow. Vanessa, what do you think of it?
God, it's amazing, isn't it? It's fabulous. I wish I was that artistic. But yeah, really beautiful colours. No, I love it. Well done, Kirsty.
Yeah, it is incredible. And I like there's a little blue at the top there, which to me indicates the sea. The fish is under the ocean waves, I think. Lovely stuff. All right, now it's time for our two top stories of the week. Vanessa, what was your must read in the magazine this week?
Well, this is a subject that has always fascinated me and makes me very glad that I'm alive now and not centuries ago, and that is old medical treatments. Now, our story is set in Rome, which of course has layers of history because people have lived there continually for, I'm going to say, thousands of years. I know it's at least 2,000 years. And anyway, an ancient Roman square that was built in 50 BC gradually turned into a bit of a rubbish dump. And in this case, it was a sort of rubbish dump for a nearby hospital in the 16th century. And in cisterns, which are sort of underground tanks, archaeologists found lots of broken china and glass.
So, okay, so where does this medical bit come in then?
Well, the china, they think, was broken plates and cups from the hospital because patients were each given their own crockery, so they didn't share it and spread diseases to other people who were in the hospital trying to get well and actually might end up getting worse. But the glass, they say, comes from old wee flasks that doctors would use to examine should we call them samples from the patients?
Yeah, sure.
And apparently you can tell quite a lot from wee. By studying its colour and how cloudy it was, doctors could diagnose liver and kidney problems and, get this, Bex, they would smell and even taste the wee sometimes. If it was sweet, then that meant the patient probably had diabetes, which is a condition where people can't process sugar properly, and so it goes into their pee.
Wow, I'm learning so much about this. I'm also enjoying how toilet-based today's show has turned out to be. Purely,
it has been a bit, hasn't it? Sorry about that.
Wow. Okay. So wee flasks, never heard of them, but I'm thrilled that's now a thing in my life. Eve, how about you? What do you have for me?
So in the US at the moment, thousands of film and TV writers have gone on strike, which means they're refusing to work as a protest. And this is because they're calling for better pay. So the members of a group that looks after their rights called the Writers Guild of America. And they say that streaming services like Netflix and Disney Plus have changed how shows are made. And so they're not making as much money as they used to be. And so this is actually having an impact on some TV shows and films because they've had to stop production. So it shows like Cobra Kai, Stranger Things, and there's an upcoming Marvel film called Blade as well, where they've had to stop production of that. And I was actually reading about it. And in 2007, there was a 100-day-long writer's strike. And this delayed the release of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince by 8 months.
Wow.
But yeah, so even though it is causing delays and it is kind of affecting the work in the film and TV industry, lots of actors and directors have said that they still agree with the writers' strikes, even if it is causing disruptions.
Yeah, I found that story really, really interesting. So we'll be very happy to read about it in the magazine this week. And now it's time for the big debate. And today we're talking about our feline friends. You guessed it, cats. It's this week, it's a bit of an interesting one because in the UK, one in four households has at least one cat. There are nearly 11 million pet cats around the country. Now, a recent study has found that UK cats kill between 160 and 270 million animals every year. A quarter of them are birds. So in fact, it's estimated that one cat can kill around 22 birds every year. Between 2015 and 2020, 48% of the UK's bird species have declined. And in Australia, some local councils have introduced cat curfews, which are rules that keep cats indoors at certain times to protect wildlife. In some areas, cats can only go out if they're on a lead, which I think would be quite a funny image, to be honest. So it's this week's debate, should cats be kept inside at night? Here's how it works. We've got Vanessa and we've got Eve giving 60 seconds to make their case. Vanessa, you're going to go first to tell us why you think they should be kept indoors. Is that right?
That is correct. Yep.
Excellent. Got my big clock here just in case. Whenever you're ready, take it away.
Cats are killers. I mean, I do like them, but they're killers. It's not their fault. It's instinct. But I don't think birds care that it's just cats being cats. And we hear so much about saving birds, and I don't really see the point of putting out bird feeders and clean water and everything if you then release a serial killer into your garden. Now, there are ways to reduce the death toll by giving your cat a really meaty diet, and you can play with them with a rag on a stick and stuff, and it kind of burns off some of their energy, give them a scratching post. And of course, you can let them out during the day. But I would say also keeping them indoors at night keeps them safe. It's not just the birds, because the vast majority of car accidents involving cats usually happen at night. Just keep them in for a cuddle and a purr at night on the sofa with you, and then everyone is safe. Birds, cats, everyone's happy.
Oh my goodness. Well, under a minute, but also you started in such a dramatic fashion. Cats are killers.
I'm not going to mince my words. I might mince my kitty cat food, but I'm not going to mince my words. They are killers.
It was a real ear-catching beginning there. So, Eve, it's up to you to tell us why you disagree with Vanessa. So whenever you're ready, take it away.
Well, I mean, as Vanessa rightly pointed out, cats are, you know, they're natural hunters, but especially at dawn and dusk, and it's part of who they are. So I think it's really important to just let cats be themselves. How would it feel if people stopped us from being ourselves? And there's actually a UK law called the Animal Welfare Act, which says that pets must be allowed to behave like normally as they should. So we should just let cats do their thing. But also there are other ways to protect birds from cats, like giving them like brightly coloured collars or collars that have bells on, and that will just alert birds and other animals that they're coming. Or, you know, if you're my dad, he's like some kind of bird protector, and he has a very harmless water pistol that he uses on the local cats. And so that just makes sure that no cats come into our garden and all the birds are protected. So there are other ways to protect birds. And also the main reason for the fall of bird numbers anyway is due to habitat loss, which is nothing to do with cats.
Oh my goodness, there's so much to take away from that debate there, Eve. I mean, first of all, absolute hero for your dad there. The cat with his water pistol in the middle of the night. Off he goes.
Yeah, I was going to say, does he stay up all night? I'm imagining him sitting there on a rocking chair on his porch with his water pistol, just waiting. Night vision goggles as well. Takes it really seriously.
It's more of, I would say that he does it in the daytime, but he instills that fear in the local cats, so then they won't dare to come.
Oh my goodness. Well, of course, if you've got an opinion on this, maybe you have a cat best friend who likes to roam the streets at night. Well, tell us all about it. Go to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls to vote and tell us what you think about keeping cats indoors. You can also, of course, record us a voice note at funkidslive.com/theweekjunior. Now, last week on The Big Debate, we wanted to know whether you thought that we should stop sending cards and letters. Eve, what were the results?
I think people felt quite strongly about this one. So 86% said no, people should keep sending them, but 14% disagreed.
Yeah, and we've also got a voice message here from Ellen about what she thinks.
Hey there, Week Junior. My name's Ellen and I'm 12 years old. I definitely don't think that letters and postcards should be banned, because every time my grandma sends me one from her holidays, I love seeing all the different pictures from around the world. Bye!
Lovely stuff. Thank you so much to Ellen. Eve, what do you reckon about that?
I think that is such a good point. My mum and dad often send me postcards and they're all over my fridge because I love to see where in Greece they've been to. It's very nice. So yeah, I agree. Very good point, Ellen.
Yeah, it's lovely to get some nice post, isn't it? Just a little treat. And Vanessa, was there anything else in our inbox this week?
Well, we actually had quite a few comments. I'm not going to read them all out, but yes, we did have quite a few. Somebody said, it's really nice to receive cards and letters. You can't have a birthday without cards. Very strong argument for me. Somebody else says, we shouldn't stop sending letters, cards and postcards because it's more meaningful to send them than just texting people. It's also good for others who don't have access to the internet or technology. Somebody else says, makes the good point, although it's nice to receive them, it takes more effort to write them. And it's expensive, which is a very good point.
I quite like the effort, but yeah, really interesting points there. And now it's time to go back to our real or rubbish. Eve, can you remind me what this story was, please?
Yeah, so this is about the loo roll that went missing mysteriously the morning of Queen Elizabeth II's coronation because someone stole it from Buckingham Palace.
I feel like, surely, if you're in charge of the coronation, you're a very organised person, and whoever was organising it would have known, you know, to take care of the daily necessities like toilet roll. So I don't know about this. I'm gonna say the story is rubbish because I can't imagine that Buckingham Palace would be behind on their toilet roll order. And I'm gonna say the story is rubbish this week.
Okay, drum roll, please. It's real.
No,
the loo roll. Yeah, the loo roll was actually stolen. And historians think that someone spotted an opportunity to get some free loo roll, a bit like you would, Bex. So
yeah, there you go.
Don't blame them. And also, sell it. You can sell it on the market. You know, like, oh, it's Buckingham Palace authentic toilet roll.
Yeah, I wonder if it's printed with anything.
Yeah, maybe a little.
You know, the royal seal.
Maybe a little painting of Queen Elizabeth or King Charles on every... That's incredible. Right, well, I'm gutted I got that wrong. I thought I would have known that, but I clearly did not. So, 1-0 to you guys. That is it for this episode of The Week Junior Show. A big thank you to The Week Junior and, of course, to Vanessa and Eve. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your pods from. And tune in to next week's show, where we'll be joined by new guests from the team for more stories, debates and chat. See you then. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, which is made by the same people that make The Week Junior magazine. You can get 6 free issues of The Week Junior or 3 issues of The Week Junior Science and Nature for £5 by heading to thewekjunior.co.uk/podcast offer.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back. And bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.